Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, starts Revelation 2 and 3 with seven short letters to seven churches. And there were first century churches. And the reminder just as we start is that the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was in exile. In fact, it was written on this island here. This is the island of Patmos and Rocky Island. And the Apostle John was exiled on this island. And whilst he was there, he wrote. Well, God inspired him, the Holy Spirit inspired him. God opened his eyes to write the book of Revelation, which we have the last book of our Bible. Imagine this morning you're the Apostle John. You're on this rock, and as you're on that rock, you're in the middle of the Aegean Sea, off the coast of modern-day Turkey. Imagine looking out over the empty water towards the mainland, a distance of about 100 kilometres. And as he was looking out, he gazed over the sea and he saw something. He was too far to physically see the mainland, too far to physically see these seven churches. They're arranged in kind of a horseshoe. It's a bit of a skewed horseshoe. It's on Ephesus going up and then down again. So he couldn't physically see them, but he knew they were out there. And as he looked, as he was thinking, as he was praying, Jesus opened his eyes and he saw something. He saw the spiritual realities of what was happening in those places. So God opened his eyes to see something about these churches. And we read in Revelation 1:14 that Jesus was the one who had eyes like blazing fire. And this one who has eyes like blazing fire gave John the ability to see with his eyes right to the heart of these churches. And so John was given this revelation, this opening of his eyes, to see as Jesus saw, right what was happening in these places. And Jesus sees the struggles, the victories, the sin of each church and each member. His eyes burn through the outward and the superficial and the inconsequential. And last week we saw each one of those seven letters to the churches all began with the same two words. Every letter starts like this, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamon, and so on, starts, I know. Jesus is saying to each church, I know. I fully know. We saw last week it was actually the word fully know. So Jesus fully knows each church situation. As Jesus looked at these seven different cities, these different city churches, Jesus looked and the first thing he says is, I fully know your situation. I fully know everything about you as a church and all that's happening behind the scenes, the struggles, the trials, the pressures, the victories, everything. I know, says Jesus. Jesus reveals himself as the one who fully knows. So what does Jesus want to talk about? If he fully knows the situation, if he fully knows what's really happening in those churches, what is it that Jesus wants to talk about to those churches? What are the topics? What are the issues? What does the one whose eyes like blazing fire see into the heart of every church? What is it he talks about? What is the issues Jesus raises? Well, last time we saw that as Jesus speaks to church, he commends before he seeks to correct. In these letters to local churches, he commends first. Commendation was important, so important that Jesus encouraged the churches. Some of the churches were in a pretty bad way. Not much to commend, but nevertheless, Jesus saw what happened, Jesus knows, and Jesus commends. Jesus comes to encourage his church, not with sweet, empty words of comfort, but specific and real words. His burning eyes divide the spiritually valuable from the religious and the carnal. What's good is commended, what is not is challenged. You know, reading through the letters to the seven churches, certain things that Jesus values come up again and again. Jesus wants us to know there are things that he values in his church. In fact, if you survey these seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3, there are in fact three things. If you go through and read just in a whole lot, each letter's quite small. If you read Revelation 2 and 3 all in one go, as you read those two chapters of the book of Revelation and read through these seven letters, they're only small letters. Some things stand out. In fact, there are three themes that stand out quite starkly as you read through those two chapters, that Jesus commends his church for three things. The first thing we looked at last week was Jesus commended his church for their hard work. He commended the church for their labor, their practical service, their outworking of their love for each other. He commended them, the fact that they loved each other, they cared for each other, they served each other. This week, let's look at what else Jesus values in his church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word that's alive and speaks today. God, would you please open the pages of the Bible to us today? Will we humble ourselves before you and before your mighty word, asking God, would you speak afresh? Lord, although there are many centuries passed since you inspired John to write these words down, Holy Spirit, today would you come and would you make these words touch our hearts, change our hearts, ring in our hearts, Lord. Would you help us? We humble ourselves before you this morning, seeking, Lord, what are you saying, Holy Spirit, to your church today? Amen. I've done a variety of jobs in my life so far, and some permanent jobs and some are contract work. One of the contract jobs that I did was I worked for BP Gas. BP Gas is the division of BP, the big oil company, just down the road in Moorgate. And I worked for BP Gas on a particular contract. And I was going back to work. I'd been working for BP before. I was going back to work for BP Gas on a particular contract. And I was employed by my old boss. So my boss, who knew me, he was a great boss, really respected. I was really fortunate. I was such a good boss. So he employed me to come and do this contract. So I was taken onto this contract. But in the time between being taken on to do the contract and starting the contract, my boss was moved. That in big organizations, they'd shuffle people around, and this person's moved to that department, this person moved to that department. So in that period of time, between getting the job and between starting the job, my boss was moved. I got a new boss. So when I started work, it was for someone I didn't know. I started work for someone I'd never met before, didn't know who he was, he didn't know me. He hadn't taken me on, and he didn't know me. He was polite and friendly on the first day, which is a great relief when you start a job and the person, your boss, your new boss, is at least civil and nice, and a great relief. But actually, over the coming weeks, it became increasingly difficult, because although this chap was civil to my face, actually, I realized I was simply a pawn in his politics. And it was in a particular part of any large organization has a lot of politics, where people vying for power. And he saw me as like a big game of chess. I was a pawn in his game, and so he would use me to gain political advantage within the organization. And so every day became a battle, and I didn't want to go to work. You know how it is when you feel that a day is like a lifetime. Time drags. You think, surely it must be time to go home. You look at the clock and it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. Another hour goes by and you think, wow, surely it's time now to go home. And it's not. It's not even lunchtime. It was very hard. I struggled through each day. Each day was a challenge. Even going to work was a challenge. Being there was even more of a challenge. My inclination was to give up. And to be frank, I found it a very hard time. Very difficult time. And I was very relieved when the contract finished. And I left. You're going through tough times is hard. I find it hard. The reason I want to share that experience this morning is when you do a survey of the seven letters that Jesus wrote to these seven churches, the one thing that Jesus commends the churches for and the Christians in those churches more than anything else, in fact, far more than anything else, the number one thing that comes out is perseverance. Is endurance, is keep going when it's hard, is not giving up. You know, I want to impress on us today that Jesus values, I believe, in his people more than any other characteristic, certainly surveying these letters to churches, the characteristic that Jesus values is perseverance. It's keeping going, is endurance. It's pushing through when I feel like giving up, remaining faithful to Jesus even through discouragements and opposition. It's what Jesus commends his church. So, for example, in Revelation 2:2, if you just go back a bit on the overheads, please, if you go in Revelation 2:2, Jesus commends his church for perseverance. And it says in 2:3, it says, you have persevered. And Revelation 2:19, again, it's perseverance. The thing Jesus commends his church for is perseverance. Someone said this, don't be discouraged. It's often the last key in the bunch that opens the lock. That when you say, I've got a big key, a big bunch of keys. Today I was trying to open the key, the prayer room over there. The schoolkeeper gave me this big bunch of keys. The schoolkeeper that opens those keys, they have the biggest bunch of keys you've ever seen in your life. And he gave me this bunch of keys to go and open. And of course you start, they're all the same. The keys are not marked. But it's often seems to be the last key that opens the lock. Something very important to Jesus about this character trait of perseverance. Perseverance is not giving up when things don't seem to work out. And Jesus specifically commends his church for not giving up. In Revelation 2:13, Jesus says, you've remained true to my name. Revelation 3:8, Jesus says, you've kept my word. In Revelation 3:8 again, you've not denied my name. Jesus commending his church for not giving up. That great scientist, Albert Einstein, talking about his own great achievements, he said this, it's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. He was saying, look, if there's a problem to solve, I'm not going to give up, I'm just going to keep on at it. I'm going to keep on. He put down his success. Einstein, that great mathematician, physicist, put down his success to his stickability, to the fact that when there's a problem, he doesn't just try a problem, give up, but that he tries a problem and keeps on going and going and going at that problem. We're going to look this morning at some examples that Jesus picked out as noteworthy in terms of Christian perseverance in Revelation 2 and 3. So firstly, Jesus commends the church for putting up with hardship. In Revelation 2 verse 3, this is the verse, it says, you've endured hardships in my name. These Christians in this city had endured hardships. They put up with hard times. Jesus values what happens in his people when they press through and endure tough times. For his name, meaning doing what God wants. I believe that just living for God, if you and I are just going to live for God, it will take us through tough times in all areas of our lives. Thankfully, not in all areas at the same time. But if I'm going to live for Jesus, then enduring hard times, I think, is part of the package. Someone once said this, a diamond is merely a lump of coal that did well under pressure. A diamond is a lump of coal that did well under pressure. Of course, a diamond is formed under the earth as a result of tremendous heat and pressure. Hardships form something of the life of Jesus in me. Hardships are the heat and the pressure that, just like under the earth, form that diamond, that beautiful, precious diamond, that rare and valued thing. So hardships in my life cause heat and pressure to form something in me. And it's the life of Jesus. And it's necessary, it's needed. If the life of Jesus is going to be formed, and that's why I believe one of the reasons Jesus commends his church for their endurance in hardships is because Jesus knows that's what going through is going to produce. That's the fruit of the hardship. It's going to produce his life inside his church. And so it's necessary, it's important. The heat and pressure form something in us. Secondly, Jesus commends his church for not succumbing to weariness. Have you felt weary? Recently, have you felt weary, tired? Revelation 2 verse 3, it says, you've not grown weary. Jesus values that his church has not grown weary. He values that his people don't give up. Former British Prime Minister Lloyd George said, there's nothing so fatal to character as half-finished tasks. There's nothing so fatal to a person's character as half-finished tasks. Starting something and not finishing it. Starting something but not pushing it through to the conclusion that we want. Don't quit. If there's something that I believe is the overarching message of this morning, it's don't quit. In any area of our lives, whatever we're doing, whether it's work or family, Christian responsibility, whatever we're doing, it's don't quit. That's if there's anything to take away from this morning, those two words. Someone said this, perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did. That's so true. When you've worked hard and you feel tired, perseverance is just keep going, working hard. It's a great definition, really helpful. Thirdly, Jesus commends the church for being patient with affliction. Revelation 2, verse 9, Jesus says, I know your afflictions. Think about an affliction is something that causes me to suffer. Who of us likes afflictions? Whatever the form it is, who enjoys afflictions? An affliction is something which causes me to suffer. And yet Jesus says here, I know. He knows all about it. He knows fully what I'm going through, the suffering that I'm going through, whatever it is. And however hard it is to go through difficult times, many things can cause us to suffer, but Jesus commends his church for not giving up. When the times get tough, he's commending his church for not giving up. Fourthly, Jesus commends the church for enduring poverty. In Revelation 2:9, Jesus commends their poverty, yet he points out that spiritually they're rich. You know, for each of us, there may have been seasons, and it may be a season now, where finances are difficult, finances are hard, and the pressure that squeezes on our finances. For each of us, that comes in seasons where it seems like money's just everything in our money situation is tough, is hard. And Jesus commending persevering in that time, pushing through that, trusting God, looking for God for every penny, looking to God to provide today what I need today. And Jesus reminds us, however tough it is today financially for me, spiritually we're rich. Spiritually we invest in heaven as an encouragement to us. Fifthly, Jesus commends the church for enduring slander or loss of reputation. Look what it says in Revelation 2:9. I know the slander of those who say they're Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. And what's here, the church is putting up with slander. Their reputation was being called into question. They were being slandered. It's very hard. I find it very hard when people say something that's not true about me. What about you? And people say something that's not true about you. Maybe people at work, maybe friends, maybe neighbors, maybe other Christians say things that are not true about you. Slander. It's very hard. And Jesus is there commending their fact they were going through this. Knowing they were going through it. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by what people say about you. There's a Christian writer called G.K. Chesterton. And this guy who wrote prolifically, he couldn't actually read till he was eight. He didn't learn to read till he was eight. He became a writer. But one of his teachers told him this. Sometimes teachers say things that aren't always very wise. And the teacher said to him, if we could open your head, we would not find any brain inside, but we would find a lump of white fat. And thankfully, he didn't take it to heart. And he went on to be, didn't put him off learning, he went on to be a writer. But people can say things, and the things that people can say can damage, can undermine, can be so hard. And sometimes it can be even worse than physical things. It can be very, very hard. Jesus commends us for keeping true to him even through the dark days. Even through dark days when people say things against us, maybe people at work are saying things against us, things that are not true. And it can seem very dark days when our reputation seems to be torn to shreds by other people. And Jesus commends as we keep going, faithfully looking to Jesus, looking to God to get us through that time. Sixthly, Jesus commends the church for bravely facing suffering and even facing death. Look at Revelation 2 verse 10. Jesus says, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death. I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:13, you did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Of course, these verses are very relevant to Christians all over the world today who are going through tremendous suffering just because they're believers in Jesus. We don't at the moment, But we don't know what future for Christians holds in this country. We don't know. And we need to be prepared in our hearts that we're going to follow Jesus whatever. Whatever happens, whatever comes, we're going to be followers of Jesus. Seventh, Jesus commends the church for keep pushing through even when they feel weak. Look at Revelation 3 verse 8. Jesus says, I know you have little strength. Jesus looked and he saw into their hearts and he saw there was only a little bit of strength there. But it was a commendation nevertheless. Sometimes just to keep going is all I can do. Sometimes just take the next step is all I can do. Just God, would you give me strength for today? Just would you get me through this day? God, with your grace, with your strength, would you help me? Help me to take the step that I need to move through this day. And it's good. Last week we were talking about authenticity and the importance of being honest with God. It's also good to be honest with each other. And if I'm feeling really weak and I'm feeling I'm struggling, it's great to be able to say, would you pray for me? This week looks a real challenge. I feel really weak. I feel as though it's going to be a hard week. That scripture where it says, share your burdens with each other. And it's good just to grab someone, maybe at the end of the meeting even today, and say, I'm just struggling. I find it hard. Would you please stand with me? This week, would you pray for me? This week, would you ask God to give me strength that I would, even though I'm weak, even though it's hard, that God would get me through the challenge of the week ahead. Finally, Jesus commends his church for keeping going, even through long-term trials, when trials go on and on and on and on. Look at Revelation 2:25. Jesus says to them, hold on to what you have until I come. He's just saying, just hang on in there. Just hold on. It may be tough. It may be difficult. But just hang on, hang on, hang on in there. The preacher, London preacher Spurgeon said, by perseverance, the snail reached Noah's Ark. Imagine a little snail gradually just getting there bit by bit. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, this theme of perseverance in Revelation 2 and 3 was, of course, very relevant to the first century church, going through very tough times. It was a persecuted church. We don't get the extreme state-orchestrated opposition that they had in the first century. We don't get the persecution that Christians today experience in other parts of the world. But we do face very real situations, very real people, very real difficulties that can be very tough, are very tough. Indications are we're going to face an increasingly hostile world to our Christian faith. And so we need to hear what Jesus is saying to his churches. Persevering is the characteristic I believe Jesus values so much in us as Christians. A few months ago, I was knocked off my bike. I was cycling on England's Lane and car came the other way. Guy didn't see me at all. And as he was coming around the corner, I thought it was quite slow. So I thought this is not going to be too bad because he's slow. Unfortunately, he didn't see me. So when he hit me, he just carried on going. So it was worse. But I fell over and cracked a little bone here in my wrist. And it was painful. And so I was there on the floor in a pool of blood because I damaged my eye as well. And the police and the ambulance and there, the policeman came up and said, excuse me, sir, what day is it? And I couldn't know what day it was because I was dazed, you know. So I thought, well, we've got a right case here. And he scooped me up, took me in the ambulance, and fantastic. Royal Free did a fantastic job, stitched me together, patching me up. I'd had a plaster on this arm for 6 weeks. So after 6 weeks, went back to the Royal Free, and they cut it off with this oscillating saw that looks very dangerous, but it doesn't hurt you. And it took off the plaster cast. As soon as it took it off, I didn't realise how much it would hurt or how weak it would be. But of course, if you think about it, obviously I haven't used it for 6 weeks. So immediately they said, right, you need to go to physio. Put me in the physio. Went to see the physio, and the physio was fantastic. And the physios are always very enthusiastic people. Very, very, they're bubbling over with enthusiasm and can-do kind of attitude. And there's a little speech that I've heard a number of times from physios, and it goes along the lines of, pain is your friend. And So I was whinging about my arm, saying, oh, it hurts, and it's too, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. And this physio is going, oh, it's great, look, it's healed up, it's fantastic. He's saying, actually, it's good pain. Any pain is good pain. He's saying it's not pain because it's broken, it's pain because it's scar tissue. And the more you use it, the more you do these exercises, then it helps it return to full strength. And so I got this full speech, and I thought, and when I heard it, I thought that it gave me the confidence to use it. Otherwise, I'd never use my arm. I would have just gone, every time I pick something, I'm going, don't want to use my arm because of the pain. But that pain is your friend's speech. I took it on board, I humbled myself, listened to it, and I did it. I just pushed through the pain. I pushed through my hand hurting, and it fully recovered. Thank you. Praise God. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a verse in James chapter 1, verse 2, where James has an attitude to do with persevering and to do with suffering that is quite interesting. Look what he says in James 1, verse 2 to 4. He says, consider it pure joy. He said, I want you to think about your trials, your tribulations, your difficulties. I want you to think about it like this. So when he says consider it, what he means is think about it this way. So when you think about your trials of many kinds, think about those trials with pure joy. What is James talking about? Why does he say that? Because he goes on to explain it. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So he wants us to see, to understand, that actually these trials are doing something. That these trials and difficulties are actually something which is good pain. There's something that works in trials that is good and beneficial and benefits me. Just like my physio telling me to push through the pain of exercising my hand. Even though it's painful, it was getting rid of the scar tissue on my wrist. Push through and something good comes. And so James is saying, I want you to have this attitude. When you face a trial, when you face a difficulty, when you face something which is a hardship, think about it like this. Think about it with joy. Not that we kind of masochistically, whoa, fantastic, another trial. Whoa, here we go. But in my heart, I've got the maturity to think, God, this is horrible. But you're going to do something through this that's actually going to develop something in me that's valuable and worthwhile and going to be lasting. Look what he says. This is a real fantastic insight here, because he says, the testing of your faith, as we go through a trial, all I can do is trust God. All I can do when I go through a difficult time is say, God, I don't like this. I don't know why it's happening to me, this thing. But I'm going to trust you that somehow you're sovereign. Somehow you're over this situation. Somehow you're in control. It doesn't feel good. It feels hard. It feels tough. It feels difficult. But I'm trusting that you are the God of the whole earth. And as I've given my life fully to you, God, I'm trusting that you're taking me through these things and that you're somehow going to work in me and through me, in the situation, through the situation, that it will develop something in me, perseverance. Do you see that phrase, develops perseverance? It's like there's something to be made inside me. There's something I haven't got and I need. There's something you need and you haven't got it, and it's called perseverance. And so to get that, it's something that's got to be forged or made inside you. And it's made inside you through the trial, as we keep going, as we keep going, as we keep going. Look what he explains in verse 4 very helpfully. He says, perseverance must finish its work. What it's saying is perseverance is like a hammer on an anvil. The old day, you know, the blacksmith in the days when he's doing a horseshoe. You've got the anvil, you've got the red hot piece of metal, and the anvil comes, and the hammer comes down on the metal, bash, 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 and he skillfully turns the metal to form the shape of the horseshoe as it's bent, as it's just hit and hit. Something is being formed. There's a work. Perseverance must finish its work. Something must happen in my heart which results in a finished work. That means a process. That means I have got to allow myself to be on that anvil and that hammer to come down, smash, smash, forming me, changing me on the inside. Because look what he says. He says, so that you could be mature and complete. So the goal, God's goal in my life is to make me like Jesus. The goal of these things, it's not just going through hard times because I'm just going through hard times. Actually, there's a purpose. Actually, there's a reason. Actually, there's something that God wants to form in me. And what God wants to form in me is the character, the maturity of Jesus, is the fullness of Jesus, so that we will not lack anything. And so what James is saying is, think about the difficulties you're going through like this. Don't just think, I'm going through this difficulty and it's really horrible, I want to get out of it as soon as possible. Don't just think, well, this is a really miserable time in my life. Everything's going wrong in my family, and look at work, that's terrible. Look what's happening here. But actually see that there's a process going on, that there's a work being done. Perseverance must do a work. And that work is inside me, and it's inside me, and it's doing something to make me mature and complete. That's the message of today. The message of today is don't give up. Because God is wanting to do something. And if I'm there on this anvil and the hammer's coming down, smash, as God's forming me and changing me through the circumstances, through the difficulties, through that difficult colleague at work, through that difficult financial situation, for whatever it is, if I hop off and say to the blacksmith, oh, this is hot in here, I'm out for some fresh air, I don't like this anymore, but I put an end to the work, this precious work that's been happening. I stall the work of maturity that God wants to do in my heart. Because God wants to form me and that I would be mature and complete. But obviously I've got to stay on that anvil. I've got to stay there allowing the hammer to come and to form me and to make me and to change me. Faith is so important to perseverance because faith allows me to look saying, God, I don't see the end of this trial. God, I don't see the way out of this trial. But I trust that you're a loving God who's got my life in your hands, and that somehow that I don't understand, you're working in this situation, through this situation, forming something good in me, even though I don't like it, even though it's painful. That's where faith comes in. In fact, Revelation 3:10 tells us it's actually Jesus' command to persevere. If we put Revelation 3:10 up, the verse up there for us, please. It says that Jesus says, you have kept my command to endure patiently. So Jesus says, he's actually commanded his people to endure patiently the trials, the difficulties that they're going through. This is the crunch point. The crunch point is, do I believe that God is in charge of my life? Do I believe that God is the sovereign God who holds my life in his hands? Acts 17:26 is a verse I've so loved. I've thought about it. I love it. So where Paul tells us that from one man, God made every nation of men that we should inhabit the whole earth. And God determined the times set for all men and the exact places where they should live. See, where we live is not by accident. Whatever your neighbours are like, you know, God's put me where I live. I could have been born in the 19th century or the 18th century or, I don't know, the 22nd century, but we're born now in the place where God wants for us. It's our time. We're not working in our workplace by accident. God's put us there for a purpose. See, faith, trust, God, you're in control. God, please, through my family, through my work, through my church, would you please help me to persevere, help me to be changed, help me to grow in maturity through these things. If you're in a trial, the first thing to do, in fact, the only thing to do, is to pray and obey. Pray and then do what God says. And perseverance, of course, a key part of praying. A third of what this says in the New Testament about praying is about praying and persevering, praying and not giving up. I love the story of George Muller, that man of faith who built orphanages in Bristol. He felt God give him five friends to pray for. And so he started to pray for these five friends and they started to become Christians. One, two, three, four. And when it came to the fifth person, he had to wait 52 years praying for this guy to become a Christian. That's praying and that's persevering in prayer. See, whatever my trial, whatever my situation, whatever my difficulty, one of three things will happen, I believe. Either God will make a way through the situation as I keep going. If I faithfully, in my situation, whatever it is, I just keep going and keep going, trusting God, believing, praying, asking for God's strength, asking for God's help, God will either change the situation. God will do something, stretch out his hand and change that situation. Or as I'm going through this situation, God will reach down and change me. God will reach down and change my heart. God will reach down and change my attitude. God will reach down and so that I will see I could count this joy. As James was telling us, something would happen inside me that I would perceive what was a trial in a difficult way. God would change me in my response in the situation. Or God would reach down that situation as I'm crying out to him in the midst of the difficulty, and God would reach down, lift me out, and put me somewhere else. The thing is, it would be God doing it and not me running away. That's the thing. Because I can run away physically from a situation, or I can run away emotionally just by kind of withdrawing from a situation or personal thing. Don't run away, because Jonah tried it and it didn't work. I want us to finish this morning just by thinking about in our lives, is there a situation where I feel like I'm having to keep going and keep going and keep going, feel like an anvil, and there's this hammer coming down and it's hitting and it's hitting and it's hitting. And I want us to see this morning that God is shaping us. God is changing us. There's something that God wants to do in us which is so precious, far more precious than making a diamond. It's forming the life of Jesus in me. And I think if we can see what James is trying to get us to see this morning, that actually it's a very valuable thing. It's a very precious thing. It's a very important thing. God, would you please open my eyes so I could see it? God, would you please help me to persevere? God, would you please give me the faith, stir my faith, I can see through this situation. Let's pray this morning together. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you. Thank you, you're a merciful God. Thank you, you're a powerful God and a wonderful God who's got our lives in your hands. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings, and we thank you, Lord, for the struggles and the trials. Lord, I want to ask that you change my heart, change my attitude, change us as a church, that you would be able to commend us as you commended those churches in the book of Revelation, where they endured hardship, they went through struggle, they went through difficult situations because you were doing something in them. God, we want to ask today, oh Lord, would you please, please work in our trials? Please, would you form the life of Jesus in each one of us, oh God? God, would you make us mature and complete, or not lacking, but fully mature in Jesus? God, would you do a powerful, powerful thing in us, Lord? Father, forgive me for complaining and moaning about situations in my life, not recognizing that actually you're doing something, you're working, you're changing. Please help us. Open our eyes to see what you're doing in every aspect of our lives, Lord. Come today, Holy Spirit. Open our spiritual eyes. Just like you did to John, the Apostle John, and he saw, you gave him the ability to see behind the scenes. Could we see behind the scenes what you're doing, Lord? In our lives, individually and together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Just think it'd be helpful if we just open our hearts to God afresh in the few minutes we've got. And just allow, if there's a particular struggle that you're going through, health issue or financial issue or something at work or relationship or something that's a struggle, just to bring it freshly before God. Just to say, God, what are you doing in this? God, would you give me faith, stir my faith to keep going in this situation? God, will you open my eyes to see what you're forming in me through this trial? God, will you help me to persevere and push through? Lord, I don't want to be a quitter. I want to push through to the maturity you've got for me. just got a sense of someone feeling like they've been tripped up. Feel like a circumstance in their life has tripped them up and they've just fallen flat, headlong. Just kind of really failed, as it were, or messed up, or just been completely tripped up by some situation or somebody. And just, God is such a merciful God. God is such a kind God, so full of love and restoration for our lives. And I really encourage you this morning, if you feel like you've fallen flat on your face in any area, the love of God is for you to pick you up, restore you, stand you on your feet, give you hope, help you take the next step. Oh, Lord, Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm going to ask Onmin to help us to lead us in worship. If you feel you just want someone to stand with you whilst we're worshiping, just grab the person next to you or go find someone else if you want to find someone that you know here. Or if you don't know anyone and you'd like some prayer, come to the front. I'd love to pray for you. If you just think, God, this is such a struggle and I really feel so weak and I just need someone to stand with me in this particular thing, then please feel free to do that, to ask someone to pray. You don't have to give all the details or any kind of confidences. It's just good to say, I'm facing a difficult situation. Would you stand with me? Would you pray with me? Let's stand and worship Jesus. Stand in his presence. Love him, worship him. And if you want to pray, then just grab the person next to you and let's pray.